So as we are recording this episode, we are 2 days away from our first PAX Unplugged, minus John. But let's get everybody excited for PAX Unplugged. I am personally very excited because it has been a long time since I have been to a convention of any kind. So let's go around for those of us that are going, and let's talk about some things that we are excited about, and when some of the things we want to do while we're there. I gotta say, the two things that I want to do while I'm there is, I know they have a bunch of board games and games you can just kind of jump into, so I want to go in, jump in, play some games I've never played before, and also dice. I'm probably gonna get dice. So
dice, God. Yeah, mm-hmm. Little click-clack rocks. Uh-huh. I mean, we got to.
I've never been to a con,
so this is my first.
Whoa.
And, I know, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I, like, ever went to one, like, really long time ago, like, early high school. But I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, so I think, I feel like I might have gone to Otakon once, but I think I was actually at something else in Baltimore at the same time.
That's fair. Yeah.
So maybe I felt like I was there.
So your congenity was broken a little bit.
Wait, yeah. Is that what they call it? Yeah, oh my gosh. Congenity.
So my congenity is on the table here. Should everything go well? Whatever that means. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I want to buy some cool merch. See people play some games.
The worst case scenario is getting mildly molested by a furry.
Yeah, I think it'll be alright.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Furries tend to only approach other furries, so I think you're good.
Yeah. They're very, very much I'm not gonna say exclusive group, but like, you know, they're very inclusive, you know, they're very friendly and stuff like that, but like, if you're not a furry, we're probably not gonna mess with you.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see. I have a short list of booths that I want to visit. I'm not going to mention the booth numbers because it's kind of irrelevant, but I'm really excited to check out Dicewise booth. Now, clarification, Dicewise will not be there, but their dice will be, so I'm very excited. I want to check out Kobold Press. Josh Simmons is going to be there. Misty Mountain Gaming, Samwise from Exeter. Is there, so I'm really excited to see her. Abyssal Brews is going to be there as well. Very excited to check them out. And I'm going to keep my eyes open for, I think it's called AARPG. It's like a, it's like a group of like, it's like OSR people, but like the good kind. And okay, he's going to be handing out like stickers, so I'm really excited to kind of run into him too.
Ooh, very cool.
So yeah, there's a lot of good people that I'm very excited to see, and I'm still trying to hammer down. There's a Discord group for like the threads, like thread friends people to meet up. Okay. Meet up. So I'm going to, I mean, there's like talk about like meeting up at a gaming table on Saturday at some point, but I haven't really hammered that down yet, so we shall see.
I mean, yeah, we're only going for one day, so we got to pack a lot into this one day. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited. This is the first time I've ever been to a PAX at all.
Yeah. Ooh, this would be huge. Oh, and of course GCP. Like, gotta swing by the booth.
Yeah, there's gonna be a bunch of Paizo stuff there, of course.
Oh yeah.
What do we think? Let's all theorize what Jed is gonna be excited about.
Warhammer.
Yeah.
Warhammer, but I wasn't sure.
Definitely going to be Warhammer stuff. I also think Jed is going to buy a My Little Pony role playing game.
Oh, he should.
He does.
I don't know why. I just feel like he would.
He should.
Sounds like something Jed'd be into.
See, I haven't quite looked. I mean, because definitely I'd be going. God, I hate to get back into it because I'm never going to buy the cards again. But if there's like a Magic the Gathering draft. Because
that's fair.
I used to love doing them because it allows you to just kind of dip your toes into it,
mm-hmm.
and also kind of gives me like, "Yep, this is enough. I'm good."
Yeah. I've done plenty.
Because like a draft would just be kind of fun to do again, but like dice definitely. But I usually just wander around cons anyway. I don't really have a set target until I'm like, "Ooh, this looks cool."
Yeah, that was like my thing. I was like, there's like I feel like I could like anything, so I just kind of want to wander and go with the flow.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. No, definitely. That's what I usually do.
Well, me as Santa's strongest warrior is going to be selling Christmas trees while you guys all do your
at
your bullshit.
SantaCon, John. That's awesome. That's so cool. You would do
yeah,
that.
I'm selling exclusive trees at SantaCon.
I'm just loving how every opening banter is just becoming John describing how he hates Christmas trees in a new way, and I'm really down for it.
Yeah, that's what this time of year is for me, Kelly.
And every all of John's of family Christmas cards is going to say send out is going to say seasons hatings.
Yep.
Seasons meetings.
Buy a thin tree, you
Merry
bastards.
Merry Christmas. Fuck you and fuck this life. No. But I actually have been to a con before, and guess what, nerds? It was a plant con.
No way.
NAMM show in Baltimore.
That's incredible.
We go there and order a bunch of plants each year.
Wow. Right. I love that.
All right. What's your most memorable thing from plant con?
Is it the cosplays?
I imagine Otakon is probably held in like the same arena, right?
Is Oda still in Baltimore?
Otakon is no longer in the Baltimore Convention Center. It's in DC, yeah.
Okay, well, you guys have been to Otakon before, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
a lot.
Think about a tree in a pot that was high enough to go past the ceiling.
Really?
Holy tape it down. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
It was a cypress tree. It was enormous. I have no idea how they got it in the building, but it was impressive.
Yeah, right. Like,
did they open up the ceiling, like the glass, right? Like and like
they
lower
clean it down?
They like entirely could have. I don't know.
They wrapped it in Christmas tree net and they just hauled it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, no, this wasn't Christmas stuff. This
like
just
the Grinch.
Plant stuff.
Well, there is one thing that we're somewhat familiar with that is way bigger than it should be, just like that tree. But today, we're talking about Vemir.
Oh, what? Dang. That's really good.
He's a big boy.
At the end of last episode, after you guys had defeated the Orym Voraxes and chased the last one off. By the way, Jonathan, Halika cured your fatigue, so you were no longer fatigued.
Man, he's put in the work.
Yeah,
he's kind of tapped, but he had that left, I think.
We're all kind of tapped.
I know. Which is part of the reason why you guys are probably a little, like, scared as you're walking up and you see what is clearly Vemir, but, like, way too big. And as all of you sort of, like, turn the corner and you sort of gaze over at this, Elkwood, you're looking at this and you're like, I can't believe this. And you go to, like, turn to, like, look at your friends and they're all frozen in time.
Dang. The kernel worm.
And
the kernel
worm. It's not the kernel worm. It's the entire scene is black and white.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
It's just you and Vemir moving. And all that you hear in this moment is something you've heard before, which is gaze upon it, Ranger. This is the path of life. To live, devour, and die, and to be devoured. You did not sink your teeth into this creature. Therefore, your pet will do it for you. Why do you resist the path of life?
I don't. I simply do not. He kind of has this thing of, like, it's less fear now. I think it's just because, you know, when you go up a level, it's kind of this confidence that builds in, but it's more curiosity. And he's just kind of like, I understand the meaning to what you're speaking about. And this entire time he's approaching. But there's no way I cannot ingest such a foul creature. And I just don't understand what you're... I don't understand. Who are you? What? And, like, is it the same thing? Like, it's talking through Vemir?
It's less talking through Vymir, because Vymir is in this like ravenous like hunger and just devouring this thing. And like I said, it's just you and Vymir moving right now, but this is just like an overarching voice surrounding you.
Yeah, and like the entire time he's walking closer and closer and closer. And it's just like this curiosity. He has no desire to eat the corpse of this disgusting thing, but he's going to put his hand on Vymir's giant, like, wing, I guess, kind of like his head, kind of like the paws in.
Yeah.
Kind of like, as kind of like a communal, sort of commune, what's the word for it? Like, kind of like a reverence.
Yeah, gotcha. So you go up and you sort of like, you know, gently and firmly touch Vymir and just sort of like, you know, try to like develop this connection. And the voice continues and just says,
if you really think that you're in this world and you want to be a part of this world, then prove your worth. Devour. Devour for mother.
And Vymir takes off a part of the Cataplebus and plops it in front of you. And all of a sudden, the color comes back in. All of you can now see Elk over next to Vymir. You're not sure when he got there, but, you know, he's stealthy. He moves in mysterious ways. And now, Elk, you have a piece of the Cataplebus in front of you. Ugh.
All right. He's going to gingerly take a piece of it, like, and kind of think for a moment. He's just trying to understand this whole experience.
But so, Benz, you can see this happening?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like me to make, like, a perception check, Jake, to see exactly what's happening right now, or...
I mean, you guys were close enough. When you saw it was Vymir, you were a little weirded out, but you could tell it was Vymir. So you would be close enough to be able to see.
So Benson's just gonna go, Elk, what is this?
And it was kinda like in this entire process of him walking here, he was kind of like aloof. And it's just kind of like he kind of stares at you for a moment, but kind of like seems more in his right mind. And he just kind of takes a piece of the Cataplebus and just kind of sniffs it. Actually, no, that'd be a terrible idea now. Like, yes, I would like to sniff this durian as I eat it.
All right.
Wonderful.
Because we're just looking at you, raising this stinky meat to your face. What's going on? What the hell are you doing?
You can just tell me a reason. I'll listen to you, Elk.
I don't know, to be honest.
Why is your bird huge now? What's...
Let's address the vulture in the room.
Yes.
Big ass vulture.
And he just kind of, like, for a moment, looks at the meat. And for the sake of it, he's just going to bite into it. And probably spit it. I mean, he'll probably spit it out immediately, though.
Yes. Yeah. All right, well, make me a 4-2 save, just for,
Benson, make a 4-2 save for me.
you do it.
Happily.
I mean, if you get a crit success... I don't have that. Can I make a reflex save?
No. Not trying to dodge it going into your mouth, unfortunately.
Stealth? Yes, I'm eating it, and then just kind of pass.
You do the crunk thing from Empress Nibiru. Yeah.
Damn it, of course. 31.
31. It's a regular success, so you get it down, but you're, like, effectively sickened for, you know, like, a minute. Yeah, you're just like, oh, like you're keeping it down, but you can like feel it trying to come up.
Yeah, I've been there before.
Yep, we've all been there.
Kessler's like, oh god, this is awful. Let me do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, he just kind of like, after he does it, like he feels the, you know, kind of coming back, but forces it down. But in this regard, though, like, he kind of looks at the mirror and kind of does, you know, I'm trying to think of an animal because he's large now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very big, but does the thing, like, with, if his, like, head cranes down, that he kind of, like, puts his head to it. Kind of like, you know, like, if someone was with a horse or something like mm-hmm. that, yeah. they just kind of do that thing. And it's just kind of like this moment that kind of chills him out for a moment. Like, makes him relaxed.
Yeah, yeah. The Vimir is sort of, there's a sort of, like, acceptance. And, you know, mm-hmm. you know, birds do the thing where they sort of, like, peck and, like, nibble on your hair or your ear yeah, or something yeah. like that. Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, and he's just kind of whispering to him. He goes, God, you're so big now. It's kind of like, it's weird. It's this weird feeling because, like, when he lost Skull, he was kind of lost because it was part of his old life, and that Vimir kind of came in, and it's more of his newer life.
Mm.
And now that Vimir's getting bigger, it's kind of like this moment of, like, holy shit, did I do something? Like, did I succeed at something?
Hmm.
But let me move my token over here. There you go. That's more like it.
So, do you want to explain mechanically?
Oh, yeah. No, Vimir is. I may have hinted slightly to it before, but he is savage now.
Nice.
So his, of course, his size went up one.
Mm.
So he's large.
Wow.
He is. His attack went from plus 14 to plus 17.
Oh,
oh, yeah.
Oh my.
Because his attack went up. He has a plus 5 to his strength modifier now.
What an absolute beast.
His attack now is with my hunt prey as well. It will be 3d8 plus 8.
No way. Oh my god.
Wait,
gosh.
Give me that plus to his strength again.
He's plus 5 now.
He's stronger than Benson.
Yeah. Yeah. No, his stat block, by the way, is, his strength is plus 5. Dex plus 4. Whoa. Con plus 4.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Which, now that I say it out loud, he's a large beast, so that makes complete sense.
Yeah. Right, but still, like, jeez.
And he finally, and also he has intimidation and survival and stealth. Now skills and stuff like that. His athletics is a plus 19.
Oh my gosh.
We just got another party member.
Yeah.
Like, his HP still is less, I think, than most people. It's like 109.
I mean, still, that's nothing to sneeze at.
We can heal a bird.
Yeah, but the biggest thing is, too, is at level 10, he now gains his, it's like a companion feat, like the special ability that you can do, because, like, I had the vomit ability, which I didn't use that much because it requires 10 feet to be close.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one is called Feast on the Fallen. And it's a healing ability that if a foe is defeated within his range, he can, as a reaction, basically consumes part of the defeated foe and gains 18 health.
Awesome.
Whoa. It's so brutal. I love it so much.
That's incredible.
It's so vicious.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And, like, it was the first thing, I think, when I lost Skull and stuff, and I was talking to Jake about it. I was just like, huh, a vulture's here. Like, because he had hogs and stuff. And I was like, this seems fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a lot stronger. And pretty, I mean, like, I can do other things for his defense, like barding and stuff, but no, I'm not as scared of him getting into battle.
Mm-hmm.
I would be scared of things he gets in battle with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm scared for them.
Like, the sheer fact that his attack, like, two attack, went up like that, I was just, oof.
Yeah, he's a serious, serious threat, and he was already a threat beforehand. So.
I know, but now he's even more of one.
But yeah, because, like, the biggest thing about, like, changing a creature like this, because I know from, I think the other one is a category that I can't do, which is the megafauna, because that's special. I think that's for, like, Quest of the Frozen Flame. Because that's sense, like dinosaur and shit, because that bumps up your con up plus two instead of plus one. And
could
like
you
the
like
other
do
ones...
a moose with the megafauna?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, but yeah, no, like so I went savage. I was like,
that's
nah,
awesome.
He's gonna attack like a mofo.
Yeah, that was insane.
I wanted to see how big a large bird was in Pathfinder. So the giant eagle is a level 3 creature, and it's a large eagle, has a 30-foot wingspan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking Whoa. School bus.
Yeah.
Excuse me, fuck off.
Yeah, so it's kind of like as Elk turns around and like the mirror is behind him and the wings kind of come out, it just kind of blocks out light.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy and terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big, it's just like, nasty like, black bird with a school bus wingspan.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what you mean, Benson. Everything's fine now.
Yeah, you can tell that Grimshaw is not really approached. He seems pretty on guard and hasn't really said anything.
So we're killing that thing, right? No, I'm kidding.
So
Benson's like, away. I'll do it.
I got it, don't worry. So Halika, he saw this happen, and he's just like, as he sees you like take a bite, he's just like, oh, my word.
That's the thing? That gets you? Okay.
Oh, the creature was wretched, and he just ate it. Oh,
that's, not to mention that. He vomit. He like spits rest of it out. There. He just like
yeah. Kezra, like it's like let me do everybody a favor. And he walks over and he just takes the staff of fire out and he just casts burning hands on the carcass.
ignites that's, with some sort of methane, I'm sure.
Explodes. Deals 20d6 damage.
We didn't leave it out in the sun all afternoon.
Ugh. Yeah, but it does need to be removed because that thing will. Contaminate everything.
Yeah. So that does bring me to the two farmers. So the two farmers that are here, they were sort of looking, and then they saw this happen, and then they're just like, "Wait, do you know that bird? Is that like a buddy of yours?"
Yes. Yes. It's our friend's companion.
Oh. He's one of those forest folk or whatever, right? None of the like the druids and stuff.
No, he's a ranger.
Ranger. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
One of those. You should check your Pathfinder rulebook more often.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a simple farmer with an intelligence of 8.
Yeah. If I was level 8, I would have already had this. Come on. I was a druid.
We've taken care of your beast. We've taken care of your barn. Is there anything else you would ask of us?
No, I'm frankly too scared to ask you of anything. He just keeps looking at Vamir. If you guys want to stay here, you're more than welcome. We can make some food in the morning. Me and my brother here. We can make some good bacon.
Do you do pancakes by chance?
We could do some good pancakes. Yeah.
Okay. On the way, all we ran into were Donnie's, no Denny's. So I've been really. Jones in for some pancakes.
Man, the Donnie's have taken over. There used to be Denny's around here, and now they're all gone.
The one thing about Donnie's is they don't do pancakes. They only do waffles.
Yeah, and then at Denny's,
Donnie's. Don't you dare come and ask you for a pancake.
And then at Denny's, you can get both. You don't have to make a. You don't have to choose one or the other. But at Donnie's,
they make you choose.
They make you choose.
Yeah, this man understands.
You guys are really insensitive. A pancake killed Donnie's dad.
I really wasn't going to talk about it, but you know, it's a story we all know, you know.
And I know my boy loves his bacon pancakes.
Bacon pancakes.
Fun DPS fact: Tim loves bacon pancakes.
I do actually. Yes,
they are good.
I regularly make them.
Mm-hmm. It's because they're delicious.
You make some bacon and you put it in a pancake.
Yeah, it's really kind of a no-brainer, amazing breakfast.
Yeah.
It's all the major food groups.
What if you made a giant McGriddle out of, like, you know, like, you make the bacon pancakes, but then you make, like, a giant McGriddle out of it?
And you put the egg in it, too?
Because clearly that's the equivalent to the Thanos snap that will destroy all the universe.
Mm-hmm. No, only half of it. Only half.
You're right, then it's totally worth it.
Yeah. What was it worth?
What's it?
Everything. Bites into it.
Dude, I'm making bacon, a little bit. I'm making bacon pancake McGriddles on Sunday.
Yeah, you better.
You should.
I'm showing up at your house.
And if you don't put if you don't post on Monday morning, you have to post it in the spoilers chat.
Yes, and with no context too.
All right, I'll try to remember all that.
Yeah. So they offer you housing and you know a place to sleep here at Rusty Bucket Farms. It's humble, you know.
Sounds
but
like bed and breakfast.
It is now.
Rusty Bucket Farms.
It is now. Yeah. So these two brothers they have like a little guest room or a guest house for you.
Wait, what were their names? I'm sorry, I don't think you ever asked.
You never asked their names. Yeah. So the guy that you met he goes
Chris
yeah.
Pratt.
So I'm. Chris Pratt, yeah, he goes. My name's Peter, and this is my brother Parker, and we're the.
Of course.
I had their names forever ago, and you guys just never asked. and yeah, they're, so they're,
we're more
they're
of a kill things now, ask questions later group.
Yeah, that's fair. I totally get it. Yeah, so their last name is Bucket, so Peter Bucket and Parker Bucket. As I said, that's a humble little farm. So they get their little impromptu bed and breakfast for you guys, and they allow you to sleep. Alika is very thankful for it because he's pretty much out of spells. So if you guys want to talk about anything or make some plans when you get to. For when you get to Kintargu, because you only have about a day left of travel before you get there.
Kezra wants to ask them over some bacon pancakes and whatever else they made. He's like, so have you guys had any encounters with the Scarlet Triad up this way?
We've heard rumors about them, but no, they might. From what we've heard, people have been dealing with them in the city and stuff like that, and you know, we're too far outside of that, and I don't know, maybe we just kind of slip by. But we've heard the name before, but maybe it's just because we live close by.
What news from the city have you heard about them? Is it something recent?
No, just some scary stuff's going on. Apparently, ghosts have been popping up in Kintargu lately.
You said ghosts?
Yeah, there's like ghosts and stuff popping up around the city.
We'll have to call the History Channel.
Any more description on that, or just ghosts?
No, I mean, it's only been one person, and I guess they were just trying to get out, so maybe they didn't get any details, but.
That's good. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I'm from Kintargu, so it is unfortunate to hear sad tidings from the city, but I'm sure we'll wind up in some sort of investigation on that. We have other business to attend there, but thank you for your hospitality. These bacon pancakes they're quite delicious.
Sure. You can have many times. So, what else are you doing in Kintargu?
Well, you know,
stuff.
Catching up with people, my friends and stuff. I live there, so you know, getting back to the daily grind. You know what I mean?
Oh, who are your friends? He's just asking really, really pointed questions for no reason.
So,
Spencer shows up right behind him with a knife. Like, give me the word.
So he's going to,
how personnel does he want to get?
Personnel.
It's nothing personnel, kid.
He'd be like, you know, just, probably catch up with my friend Athena, maybe, Eldric. Yeah.
Cool.
Some cool people.
Yeah, they sound like nice people.
Well, I haven't said anything about them. So that's a very interesting assumption.
As he's currently jotting it down.
He's jotting it down in a book and closes it, and you see Death Note right on the front of it.
Right. Shit. Roll for initiative.
Where did you get that?
Uh,
After a very awkward conversation, you guys have your breakfast. If you guys want to talk amongst yourselves and stuff like that, Halika is definitely going to be chatting you up some more and just like, that was simply incredible. Some of you were having a hard time with those Aurum Voraxes, you said, but I managed to heal your wounds. Being an adventurer is incredible.
You did a very admirable job. Admirable job. Sorry,
his face just like beams when you compliment him on his healing abilities.
So yeah, tell me. I'm sorry, Benson.
So tell me more about Zonkuthon. As Benson is very clearly trying to take a hit for everyone else, be like, yeah, tell me about Zonkuthon. Let everyone else do their thing.
tell me about the Master of Games.
The Midnight Lord. Oh, if you want to learn about the Midnight Lord, I can absolutely tell you all about him. Did you know that his favorite weapon is the spike chain?
I actually did know that.
it's a very useful weapon. It has reach, and you can trip and do many many things with it.
I think we could skip this conversation, Jake.
No, I feel like this conversation can keep going.
I just like to think it's like Benson already knows all this, so the guy's like, you know this? And he goes, yes, I do.
I in fact do, yeah.
Kezra,
surprise me!
That's Kezra's really like, cool, dude.
Kezra's standing over by the Bucket Bros pantry, and he's just like raiding it and throwing shit into a bag, and he like looks at one of the closest brothers, he's like, you don't mind, right? And then he doesn't wait for an answer, and he keeps going. And then he looks, over to Halka, and he's like, "So, like, what are the churches decorated like?"
Usually with large black iron and chains, and they hang down. It sort of decorates with, you know, the sort of brutality that only Zonkuthon can bring in dedication.
All right. What do you guys wear?
Well, I wear this. This is just clerical robes.
Okay, sure.
Did you know his original liar? did you know his original name was Du Brawl? And in fact, he did help fight Robogug.
Didn't know that.
Right, see, everyone assumes that the Midnight Lord has some sort of nefarious means, but if he fought Rovagug himself with the other good deities, then somewhere along the lines there goes a line.
So, a person's past actions don't necessarily determine their present or future, though. People change. Even the gods.
Well, perhaps, but he's god of order. And he points over to Benson, you, being a paladin of Iomede, you know about justice and law and order and keeping things in line.
Yes. I would, however, in a friendly argument, say that there's a slight amount of difference.
Of course. Semantics, of course.
Semantics, yes.
Semantics. Come on, Zonkuthon, Iomede. The same.
Basically the same. Interchangeable.
Two sides of the same coin. Really.
Kezra walks over and he hands a bag of food to Elk. Like a bag of food you didn't ask for, but he got it for you anyway. Because he's got another one on his back. And he looks to Halga?
Halika.
Halika.
Looks at Halika and he's like, so, you will not, Nidal wants more trade with Kintargo? Is that really all you're here for?
Yes, I'm not gonna say it's a small order, but I am merely a journeyman in diplomatic relations. But if I can help in any way to, you know, resolve any conflicts between them and sort of smooth over tensions between two great nations, I'm happy to do so.
Does Kezra know if Nidal has any cover with any connection with the Scarlet Triad? That would be worrisome.
Go ahead and if you make a society check, I can kind of give you some of that.
I am not a worldly man.
Oh, okay.
I got a 5 for a 5.
Oh.
Hey.
You're like, I mean, law and order, I feel like, does eventually lead to slavery, so maybe they have to have something. Like, you're kind of like,
So you got any issues with the Scarlet Triad up there in Nidal?
Well, they captured me, did they not? I mean, okay. Very clear that I was a diplomat from Nidal, and the Scarlet Triad captured me. So if there was some sort of connection, I think that they would have just let me walk. But there I was, sitting in handcuffs.
Well, that could be something that could be used against it. I mean, if they were willingly imprisoning or about to imprison a diplomat of Nidal, I mean, would Nidal not, you would assume, fight against them? Like, the Scarlet Triad. Yeah, like, is this... I mean, I would assume the Scarlet Triad is pretty much hated. Like, from most places. Right?
Well, yes, slavery has been outlawed, and, you know... is it most of Jellyx, or is it all of Jellyx? I think it's all of Jellyx.
It's all of Jellyx.
Yeah, really?
It's abolished in all of Jellyx? I thought there was, like, still, like, fragments left.
I mean, there's maybe, but
it's one of those things.
Servitude.
There's a lot of when something like that goes away, there's still things that sort of hang on to those things.
There's always roaches to squash.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
You can't squash,
like,
roaches.
Just like slavery.
Halika is enthralled by this conversation, and he sort of does feel this kinship, because he was captured by the Scarlet Triad, and you guys have talked about, you know, stopping them out. But you guys can go on the road if you would like. You do have a day of travel ahead of you.
I feel like that is something that we could put a bug in his ear. We're not going to, you know, kill this guy, for one. I know this conversation's been going on, but the fact that he was captured by the Scarlet Triad, if he brings that back to Nidal, perhaps that could be something else, like, that if the Scarlet Triad try running to that part, like, just, you know, trying that, he'll be like, hey, Nidal, these people are trying to start shit, like, they're trying to, so just keep a lookout, kill them if you see them.
Yeah.
Like, instead of being like, who are these guys? And you're like, no, these guys wear this clothing. And you should snuff them out quickly.
Yeah, I think on the way, maybe you suggest that Elkwood, and then Grimshaw is just kind of doing like an info dump to Helica about, like, all he knows about, like, I mean, I don't know how many people he knows of in the Scarlet Triad, you know, because they're pretty protective of the information transfer and their higher-ups and stuff, but basically, like, dropping any names for him to take down, any descriptions of, like, the whereabouts that his order has, like, tracked down over the years. So just any information that could be like, this is what you need to take back to the Umbral Court, like, this is, if you're aligned in our mission to stomp them out within your power, this is what you need to know. And, you know, he just kind of lays it out during this day of travel. Because, I mean, it's just tons of information, right? All of them leading to dead ends, but, you know, any intel is intel.
Yeah, yeah. You give him all this information, and he's actually, like, taking notes of, like, you know, like, what you guys have talked about and stuff like that. And he's just like, this is incredible. You all have been extremely helpful. It's amazing. You always hear about these adventurers, and you always assume that maybe they're aloof, or, you know, that they're off just doing adventuring. So, you know, maybe not good conversationalists. But you all have really, really enlightened me these past few days. Go ahead and roll me a perception check on sense motive as you guys are like, you know, the past days you guys have been talking.
Sense motive, so just perception, right?
Yep, just perception.
Oh, well, that's good, because level 10. My perception's off the charts. I'm a master in perception, actually.
Terrible.
No.
Terrible. I got, like, 21.
19 on the die, do you?
Yes. Should I even roll?
I mean, might as well.
I actually rolled pretty well, so...
Hmm.
That should be a 37. Oh, 36, sorry. Gosh. Sorry.
36. Yeah, though that's pretty good.
And so go 32.
There you go. Okay, those are both successes. So, as you're walking along, he reveals to you, Benson, at one point, as he sort of feels this like kinship with you, being like, you know, lawful practitioner of his faith, and you know, and that kind of thing. And he's just like, you know, it's sad. I was delayed quite a bit because of in my trip, because of the whole deal with getting captured by the Scarlet Triad, and then, you know, this thing in the small farm and things like that. It's really enlightening, and unfortunately, I don't even think my superiors are going to notice. I'm quite low on the ladder, as it were. So he sort of like reveals this. It's sort of like a bit of like vulnerability that he has with you, Benson.
Well, it's a bit challenging at first to be noticed, but if you persevere and pull through something like you have, I mean, come on, you were captured by slavers. It was very fortunate that we found you. I think this just shows your mettle, and make them know that.
Shows my mettle. I really like how you put that. I will. With your check, Mark, Elkwood kind of gets the idea that he... You get this sort of thing in either in his voice or his tone, or maybe it was just like in a facial expression. And it clicks in you immediately as you've had a pretty good idea of like when people are lying, as you've like, you know, hunted people down for bounties and stuff like that. You get the idea that he has zero connections in Kintargo. And so he's sort of developing this relationship with you guys, and he's kind of just like, these guys might be my friends there. Like, I might have, like, someone to, like, be with while I'm there.
So he's going to try hanging around us pretty much the entire time.
He doesn't say that, but he's sort of, he feels safer with you guys in the city.
Okay. So it's kind of like a definite thing of, like, he's not being suspicious at all. He's just lonely.
Yeah, he's just a lonely cleric.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lonely cleric. He's low on the totem pole. Like, he's trying to be better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's kind of something that El kind of thinks of for a moment, because, like, the organization that he worked with, it was kind of like that thing. You had to fight in order to become better and hire help in that place and stuff like that. So it's kind of like this thing of like, well, it's sort of the same way set up in that description, I guess, of what he was describing. Like, he's low on a totem pole. Benson kind of just said it right there. Yeah, you gotta prove yourself.
Yeah.
Then you'll become noticed. And then when you become noticed, you get a little bit more power. But, I mean, that's good that there's no outliers that we get a sense of.
Go for it, Sean. You go, Tim.
No, mine's completely unrelated. Go for it.
I was just gonna ask if Benson can kind of like swamp, like go over to Elkwood here for a second.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like, and I think at this point that Vamir is also kind of like slowly
flying like, a bluff.
Blotting
out the sun.
Just doing his little walk with fucking 15 feet every stride.
wait. Let me look at Vamir's move speed if he just walks, because 10 feet.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Birds are surprisingly notoriously slow in walking.
He didn't take the nimble hop feet.
No. He does that cute little thing that birds do when they hop, and they just
the little hop.
Yep.
No. If he's a vulture, he's on an updraft, so he is
miles up
there.
Yeah,
he's like a mile up.
I don't really know what great way to say this, but I haven't really been able to reach you the past couple of days.
No. Well, I was here. Well, I mean, sort of. To be completely honest, Benson, I was a bit out of it. A lot has happened, and it just seemed like when I saw Vamir kind of going through the changes, it kind of messed with me a little bit. I thought for a moment I failed again.
Yeah, I understand how that feels. I don't really know the most comfortable way to broach this subject, Elk. You've shared a very small amount about yourself. I feel like, honestly, if there's a single person in this company that you should feel comfortable to talk to, it is me. And I understand that's probably a very stupid assumption that I'm making because, well, I trust you.
I appreciate that. And to be forthright about it, I was never that open with most people when, in my childhood, it wasn't that great. I was taught to be rather criminal in the way of dealing with things and to survive. To show any sort of weakness, any sort of openness was... It's something that I've been struggling to deal with. But now it seems like it's kind of come to a head. I mean, I'm simply understanding things a bit better now. It's hard to explain. Well, not really. To be quite honest, Benson, I wasn't a good person before you met me. I did a lot of bad things. But I'm trying to get away from it all. And through our adventures through the Mwangi, and even here, it just seems I feel more free, that I don't feel as shackled as I was prior.
Well, it is not by the past actions one should be judged, it should be by what they do the day one is beholden. And frankly, I have no idea if I'm a good man today.
Oh, you seem to be giving our friend here some good advice. I will honestly say, Benson, I do believe there is good in you. But I also worry a bit about your, dare I say, the mantle that you wear. I've seen things like this break people.
It is the greatest challenges that make what we are truly worthy of show.
Yes.
I didn't want to make this about me, Elk. I just wanted to let you know that if you needed somebody who you could confide in, I'm not going to attempt to crucify you. I just wanted to let you know that I trust you, and you have somebody you can speak to.
I do appreciate that. And in this point, like, he's kind of trailing back maybe a little bit so the other two aren't really within ear. But he kind of whispers more. Using stealth. I don't know.
So 40.
It's a 40. My whispering. But he kind of does go, he goes, I don't know how to exactly broach this, Benson. I... In the Mwangi, after I lost Skolt, I felt a bit lost completely. He was with me from one of the very beginnings. He made me kind of tethering into the wilderness when I was living in Absalom. but when I met Vemir, there was a voice that carried with him. And it's something that I do not know. It doesn't feel evil. And it just keeps pushing this testament of renewal. But in a rather odd way, dare I say, I'm being offered pieces of dead meat to devour every so often does not quite appeal to me, but it seems like a small price to pay.
Yeah, when you start saying, like, this bird has been talking to me and giving me dead meat, Benson does reach out really quick and grab you by the shoulder. Not aggressively. Yes. But he looks in your eyes for a second. He goes, okay, we will figure this out. I'm not the font of wisdom. Adelar probably would have been, or... But I don't look at you and I don't see evil, Elkwood. So, we're going to work this out.
Thank you. But, as I said, it doesn't feel malicious at all.
Unless it is evil, then I will murder you. No, I'm kidding.
First.
Damn it, you're so fast!
You only get one use of that cloak. Yeah, but it just kind of like... I would say, like, it's kind of a weirdly good feeling, because it's something that him and Benson may have talked, like, a while ago. Like, this is going back after we killed that... God, what the hell is that guy's name? The Goblin King? The Goblin Lord?
Raldir.
Raldar.
Raldar.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was, like, the last time that he really spoke to him, like, on a more personal level. And it just kind of feels weird, like, unloading stuff like that, but it felt good at the same time. It kind of felt old, like an old friend sort of situation. Like, oh, this felt good, like, I haven't done this in forever.
Yeah.
So Benson tried to do. Not always good in social situation, old Benson, but he tried.
Well, you know what? Compared to social situations, that Benson is much better equipped than Elkwood ever will be, with my charisma of +0.
Yeah, after I said that, I was like, wait a minute, I'm a paladin. Charisma's like my main stat.
It should be your second most times.
I'm the face of the party. What?
Right. I'm the one who talks to people. Yeah, that's right. All right, so you guys have a mostly uneventful, physically, I should say. You know, there's a bit of vulnerability as you guys are on the road. But you do eventually get to Kintargo.
Yay.
And let me show you a picture of Kintargo. Are you ready for the skyline shot?
Oh, God, it's New Jersey.
It's Detroit.
Look at that.
Oh, that's like the Red Keep on steroids.
Oh my gosh.
Holy shit, that is beautiful.
So, Kintargo is a massive metropolis city. Fun fact, it is the location of the entirety of the Hell's Rebels adventure path from first edition.
Oh, wow.
Like, it has the Red Keep in it, if the Red Keep was also, like, the second castle to the main yes. one.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's still really cool.
No, yeah. It is a fantastic city. I'll when this episode comes out, I'm definitely going to post this in the Discord, because this image is beautiful. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's breathtaking.
Excuse me, Jake. Where's the Dark Souls boss?
There's definitely a few Dark Souls bosses. There's definitely a few Dark Souls bosses somewhere in the city. But yeah, you guys eventually get to the gate as you approach the. Guards greet you at the gate, and there's people that are going in and out with carts and stuff like that. It's a pretty routine thing. They come over, you know, with a little mirror on a stick, checking for bombs, you know, under the cart and all that kind of stuff.
I was like, wait, what? Kesra, like, put that 2-gallon container of Alchemist Fire away. The moonshine bottle.
Yeah, so they do the routine things. I mean, they're I don't know if you guys would have anything on you that would be considered, like, illegal, contraband or something like that. You guys are adventurers, after all.
Oh, shit, my flay leaf.
All right, smoke it now or throw it out. As you approach the city entrance, Grimshaw, you remember the first time you came to the city. Not unlike now, you were warned from travel then. The difference between then and now, however, is this feels like coming home. The first time you felt desperate, not knowing where else to go. This feeling of desperation and uneasiness reminds you of what brought you to Kintargo in the first place. You can still see, you can still hear Krongal's gruff voice yelling at you to get your attention. Grimshaw! 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 You see Grimshaw cross-legged on a bearskin rug in front of Krongal, one of the high-ranking members of the Shattered Fang, and Grimshaw's leader. Firelight trickles in from the camp beyond, the flames casting distorting shadows on Krongal's face and tusks. Grimshaw, in comparison, shrouded in shadow.
Sorry, Krongal.
You have to leave, Grimshaw.
Things will change. I'll learn to control it.
No, not here, you won't.
But Krongal!
No, my responsibility has been fulfilled. Your life, spared. Trained in the goddess's weapon, done. You've trained with our best. But now your path diverges. I don't know what is going on with you, Grimshaw. Oracle Orutha has predicted doom as long as you stay. He says the fabric of time...
Yeah, it distorts around my aura. I've heard it. But things... they're getting better.
Better? 3 members of our tribe almost dead, and you call that getting better?
But... they're all right.
That's not the point, and you know it. You leave tonight.
Tonight?
The council decided and charged me to give the command.
Grimshaw rises, knowing that any further conversation is pointless. He turns, this time the firelight dancing across his face, hot tears glistening upon his cheeks.
Grimshaw, he says, but Grimshaw does not turn. May the Everbloom guide you to the downtrodden.
Grimshaw, leaving the tent, replies back.
And may her thorns pierce the oppressor.
And with that, we will see you guys in Kintargo next week.
Oh, we're back, baby! We're Let's back, go. Baby! Oh, man.
Orky friends.
Kintargo's Orky friends.
Orky.
Well, howdy do. It is Timmy from the DPS. Do you know what is one of my favorite parts about TTRPGs? Dice, dice, and more dice. And if you're like me, if you're a dice goblin who just can't get enough dice, I'm here to tell you about someone we partnered with, Greenleaf Geek. Greenleaf Geek is an incredible dice maker. They have artisanal dice, they have curated dice, they have everything from soft edge to sharp edge, and they have this one set of dice called the Whisper of Roses, very fitting for Grimshaw. That's just sparkles and roses inside a sharp-edged dice set. And let me tell you about a special deal. With the DPS, if you enter code DRAGONPUNCHSQUAD at checkout, you can get 10% off. So head on over to greenleafgeek.com, and when you hit that checkout button, make sure you add on a donation to plant a tree. Not only does Greenleaf Geek save your party, but it also can help save the world. Hey, that's all from me. I'll see you guys the next episode. Bye!